Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
B. Mitch and Finley, major news. Alex Smith is retired from the NFL. The Alex Smith legacy is really, really an interesting one. Obviously, his career finished here in Washington, but he's a number one overall pick going way back to San Francisco. Was a quarterback of some really good teams with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think what everybody remembers most is the horrific leg injury, November 2018. And just as bad as that was, just the incredible perseverance and will to come all the way back.
Yep.
He announced his retirement on Instagram with a really, really touching announcement. Landfill, go ahead and play that, please.
2 years ago, I was stuck in a wheelchair, staring down at my mangled leg, wondering if I'd ever be able to go on a walk with my wife again or play games with my kids in the yard. Putting my helmet back on was the farthest thing from my mind. I just kept asking myself, all this for a stupid game? But then, someone did something that changed my recovery completely. He put a football back in my hands. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden, I felt stronger, more driven, and what once seemed impossible began to come into focus. And the truth is, over the course of my life, that's what this game has done for me. I was a skinny, no-name recruit who wasn't even supposed to play in college, let alone go to New York as a Heisman finalist, or be the first one to have his name called on draft night. And then, on a routine play, I almost lost everything. But football wouldn't let me give up, because no, this isn't just a game. It's not just what happens between those white lines on a Sunday afternoon. It's about the challenges and the commitment they require. It's about how hard and how far you can push yourself. It's about the bond between those 53 guys in the locker room and everybody else in the organization. It's about fully committing yourself to something bigger. And most of all, it's about you. So to everyone out there, whether you're a part of Niner Nation, the Chiefs Kingdom, or the Burgundy and Gold, I thank you. To all the men I had the privilege of standing with and playing alongside, thank you. I want to say thank you for believing in me, and thank you for helping me believe in myself and in the impossible.
And here we go.
Wow. Folks, Alex Smith for the first time since...
Because even though I've got plenty of snaps left in me, after 16 years of giving this game everything I've got, I can't wait to see what else is possible. But first, I'm going to take a little time to enjoy a few of those walks with my wife, and my kids have no idea what's coming for them in the backyard.
It's nice. Nicely done.
Yeah, real nicely absolutely. Done. And you can find that on Alex's Instagram. I think it's at AlexSmith11. Listen, there's, like much of the last 6 months between the Washington football team and Alex Smith, there's a lot to consider with all of this. And I want to open up the phones right now. Gambit DC listener lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What is Alex Smith's legacy? Because to me, he was a good quarterback. He was never great, but he was good. Kansas City, they went to the playoffs, I think, five straight seasons. I think from a on-field perspective, he was conservative. He didn't turn the ball over much. He gave his team a chance to win. Great coaches liked him. Andy Reid loved him. Class act, leader. I'll never forget Chris Thompson told me in the Washington football team's locker room back in 2018 that he's never felt in a huddle on a football field the way he did with Alex Smith out there. That they just felt like every game, every situation, no matter what, they could win. Up big, down big, whatever it was, they felt that way. And then you listen to how Chase Young talked about having 11 out on the field and what it did for the team. The 2020 Washington football team that just had a incredibly unexpected playoff run.
Yeah.
And Alex was such a huge part of that. And to me, good for him to step down, just to walk away from it. And you hear him talk about going for walks with his wife and playing with his kids in the backyard. A lot of people, I mean, my Twitter's going crazy with, you know, bring him into the Washington football team front office. He should go work for the Chiefs, go back with Andy Reid, you know, be a coach.
He doesn't want to do none of that.
I don't think he's going to do any of that stuff.
You know?
I think he's going to chill.
I think one thing he's talked about, how football wouldn't let him quit. And I think a lot of times, right now we have this thing of people not wanting their kids to play this sport. I think all the way back to when I first started playing football, my dad was like, start playing football. It'll teach you how to deal with different people, different backgrounds. It'll teach you how to be dedicated to something. And what Alex is saying, playing this game of football put something inside of him that wouldn't let him say no. I think it's a lot to learn from this game, and this game could teach you some good things. Yeah, it's a tough one, but I think more good come out of it than bad.
Absolutely.
In most cases.
Phone lines are open. Gambit DC listener lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Tell us what you think about Alex Smith's legacy. Let's go to Sean here in D.C. Sean, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I want to say first, this is my first time listening to you guys, and this is my first time calling you guys, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Appreciate
thank
it, man.
Thank you for having the show. But Alex Smith, if you go back to the days when he was with Kansas City, he was a dynamic quarterback. Everybody was calling him a quarterback that just knew how to manage a game that would dink and dunk. But when he was with Kansas City and he was throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, he was throwing the ball down the field, and it was very exciting to watch him. That's why Washington brung him here. But I want to change the subject real quick. What about with the 19th pick Washington taking? I know we have a running back, but taking Najee Harris. Tell me what you think about that. Take care.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call. I don't think they're going to take Najee Harris at 19.
Yeah. I like Najee Harris. I think he could be but I think when you have other positions of need, you got to go there.
Cody, as a young guy and as an athlete, I'm curious what Alex's comeback was for you and just kind of how you'll think of his time in Washington.
Well, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a 49ers fan. So I've been watching him since like day one.
2005, and number one overall pick.
I'm a huge like Alex Smith guy. And when you said like, what are you going to think about Alex Smith? What is his legacy? I personally think that the 2011 season really summed up what Alex Smith was as a whole. He never had a 300 yards game in the entire season, but they went 13-3. When you had weapons around him, he could get it done, and he didn't turn the ball over. That's who he was. Great quarterback. Maybe not a Hall of Famer. Great quarterback. And glad he was able to come back, make a return.
He's not a Hall of Famer. But I think he had a really good career, good story, and then coming back from that injury. I mean, Beamish, I remember the first time I saw him working out was in 2019, was late in the fall of 2019, and I was stunned just to see him running around on the practice fields at Ashburn. It's remarkable. He was throwing to Jordan Reed at the time, who was stuck in concussion protocol turmoil. And watching those guys, it was just...
I think when you start thinking about his legacy, as good as things were, I think the ending... The comeback is going to basically be what people go to.
Yep.
Because I think he showed a lot of people what's inside of you. And I think for athletes are constantly tested to push themselves a little bit more than what they would normally do. Like, I know a lot of people always talk about, you know, man, I know what y'all go through. No, you don't. Okay? When you truly have to push yourself to get to a certain level, and I think he was able to tap into that. So I think that is going to be more of it, because I think as good as he was, as good as we're saying he, you know, didn't turn the ball over, also some of that was the reason why he didn't win the bigger games that he probably could have won. You know,
at some point, you got to be a little bit
more
aggressive.
Didn't take that risk.
That's probably why the Chiefs went and got Patrick Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying. So I think at the end, he took a lot of risk to get back on the field, to get out there and perform. That was the risk. And I think he's going to even learn from that as much as anybody else will learn from. Sometimes you got to take risk in life.
Let's go to the phones. Scott in Fairfax, what is Alex Smith's legacy for you?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man. What's up?
Hey, listen, I just got to say that they should name the award, the Comeback Player of the Award, they should name it the Alex Smith Award. I had a tib fib fracture, and I know what it is to come back. His was a spiral tib fib. Mine was just a regular tib fib fracture. Never been the same, that ankle. So for him to be able to get back on the field, that man deserves all the credit in the world. Love the show. First time caller. Thanks.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to our Paulie wants to weigh in on the Alex Smith legacy. Hey, Paulie, what's up, buddy?
Big bro, Buck Nasty.
What up, Paulie?
How you guys doing, man?
We're good,
man. To the W.
What do you think about Alex Smith retiring?
Hey, I want to say this about Alex Smith, man. You know, if you really look at it, he had two stints with us, you know, before the broken leg and after the broken leg. But the one thing he did both times was he brought this team stability. You know, under Jay Gruden, the offense wasn't necessarily fit to his skill set, but he still brought a stability. He was in first place. You know, I know we ended up not being in first place, but you could say he was if things start going in the right direction for us these next coming seasons, you could actually say that he was the start of the turnaround for this franchise. And for that, I want to thank him for it. So I'll say that much about him, man. Take it off. Y'all have a great afternoon. Hail to the W.
Thanks, Paulie. I think that's fair. If fans, I think it's a reasonable place to be to feel thankful for Alex's time in Washington, especially because he did not need to come back. He did not need to fight all the way back from that and help them get to the playoffs. I Landfill is generally negative. I'm curious his reaction to Alex Smith retiring.
You know, I'm not surprised that he's retiring. There's like no chance that anybody was really going to sign him to be a quarterback. I remember at the beginning of the offseason, people were like, he should go to the Jaguars. And I didn't think that happened. I think it's right that he's retired. I thought he should have retired after the injury. I'm stunned that he came back. It was like shocking watching him play. When you saw when you watched that documentary, that ESPN documentary, and just saw how bad things actually were, like, I was stunned that he came back. I was stunned he even considered trying. I would have just stayed in my house forever and never even considered trying to play football again.
Being at that game, that Rams game last year in the pouring rain when he came out there, I watched a lot of football. I've seen a lot of football live. It was a feeling I'd never experienced. Because there's always some level of uneasiness and nervousness.
I was nervous as hell.
I mean, and then Aaron Donald jumps on his back. I mean, he was getting beat up in that game. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think the whole world was nervous. And I think some of that is probably why he's retiring. Because he thinks that maybe should be out there after what he did on the field last year. Maybe just aren't there.
Because it's the thing about when you get a quarterback, you think about them being able to do all the things you think they can. And the last thing you want to do is be concerned so hard whenever time. Because for the most part, athletes, you don't think about the bad things that can happen. If you do, they're going to happen. You have to be able to go out there with a free mind. If the people that are paying you don't have that free mind, it's going to be hard as hell for them to put you out there consistently. So when he went out there, and I know people got mad at Aaron Donald. I'm like, listen. Pro sports, when you step into the inside the lines, you get what you get. People are going to come at you full speed because once you're out there, that's the way they think. And you have to have that mindset even as the guys that are health, that completely healthy, and you have to have that mindset, or you're going to get harmed.
Well, and Alex needed. He's even talked about how that was a wake up call for him. And it's pro sports. Their job is to tackle you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Aaron Donald does.
Yes. Well, one of my buddies sent me a text. He said he sees him as a football commentator. He has that voice of a young Pat Summerall. And I can see him doing that, just like Drew Brees.
Going, I think he'd be really good.
I can see him doing something just like that.
Coming up next, we're going to keep taking your calls, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What is Alex Smith's legacy to you?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
B. Mitchell Finley, we're back. We're taking your calls. Alex Smith, officially hanging up his cleats, retiring from the NFL. Want to know what you think about it. We're going to start right away. Let's go to our guy Kyle in Fairfax. Kyle, what's up, pal?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to kind of actually echo what you were saying, JP, because you were at the Rams game, and they let like only 3,000 of us in at the Giants game, I think, a week or two later. And I was sitting four rows in front of Alex Smith's wife when he came back in after the Kyle Allen injury, which you probably remember was very close on the field to where Alex Smith got hurt.
It was crazy.
Super creepy.
Crazy watching all that.
But like, you know, we were just kind of talking about that redemption story. And I remember how sick I felt. You know, I have season tickets, so I feel sick going to a lot of games, but this was for different reasons. You know, everyone was so nervous watching him come back. And even though he had some bad turnovers, do you remember the people were excited in the second half. He had some big throws to Terry and Cam Sims.
Yep.
And it was an amazing feeling to just be so nauseous to feeling like, wow, look at him go and throw that football and like a capable NFL quarterback again. So that was an amazing feeling. And then I just wanted to say one thing I learned from him is I'm a little bit of a younger fan. I'm 34. I think so many fans nowadays get caught up with saying, great quarterbacks are guys who throw for big yards, you know, big numbers. But he was 6-3 here in 2018, and he was 5-2 last year with two bad teams. And he taught me kind of the way Chris Thompson said that he always felt in control. Just watching him, you always felt comfortable with Alex Smith as your quarterback. So just something I hope younger fans learn. It's not always about numbers.
Thank you for the call, Kyle. Good stuff there, man. I agree. When you start to talk about Alex Smith's career, you're not going to talk about passing TDs or video game numbers or any of that.
No.
It's not how it unfolded, and he was able to do different things on a field than a lot of other QBs. Let's go to Rick in North Carolina. Rick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well, man.
That's good. With Alex Smith, he played, total 16 games, 11-5. So I don't know too much about legacy, but I would just say his signature game to me was the Pittsburgh win on
the Monday nighter.
That Monday. Yeah,
think
that
absolutely.
Was probably his signature win. Now, what would you guys think? Now, say Alex Smith, if he was, say, he was healthy, how would you be feeling about him as a starting quarterback this year compared with instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
You know, that's such a good question, Rick. But I don't think it's fair. He's not, and it's really impossible to try to kind of balance that after everything we saw come back. He missed a lot of time, but I pulled up the box score from that game because you're right. He threw for 296 yards with a touchdown in that game, and there were just a ton of big third down conversions in that game. I think Alex really played well.
I think his leadership was the key thing. We went from a nothing offense that looked totally lost, and then when he kind of took over, or even when Kyle Allen took over, you could see the team starting to change, especially on offense, because before that it was a train wreck. But yeah, he did. I didn't think he was going to play again after the season anyway. So he's retirement, or maybe he can get into broadcasting or something like that.
Thank you for the call, Rick. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Let's squeeze in one more call here. Let's go to John. John, what's Alex Smith's legacy to you?
Hey, B-Mitch. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll tell you what. If that guy doesn't inspire you to be able to come back and do anything, then I don't know what it'd take to inspire you. And I watched that documentary, and, he said when he went and rehabilitated with the troops, he said, it just – he said something like, I thought I had a big problem or whatever. And, he seen those guys overcoming stuff. And he said that really inspired him. I'm glad he made sure and told people about the troops, how they helped him and stuff, But, if that don't inspire you, I don't know what will. And the guy that called in earlier and said something about naming the award, comeback award for the NFL. I think that's a really good idea, and they ought to really consider that. I don't
yes,
know.
Sir.
That was something else. And I got one more question I'd like to throw out there to you guys about the quarterback. Do you guys think if that Davis Mills fell all the way to, 19th, if we stayed at 19th, should we take him over whoever else was left, if anybody else was left? Because I think he's a throwback type-looking quarterback. He reminds me of Luck and stuff, his footwork and stuff, but also like a Johnny Unitas or something. But anyway, if y'all got time, I'd like to have you be Mitch's opinion on that. So thanks for taking my call, guys. Y'all have a good day down there.
Right, so. Thanks for the call, John. I don't think you take Davis Mills at 19.
No.
Maybe second or third round, but I don't think you take him at 19. I think you take one of these. I think a real stud's going to fall to them at 19, and I think you jump on that. People like Mills, but I actually kind of circling back to when Thor was on with us earlier in the show, Thor Nystrom is a wired in college football evaluator and said that he thinks Davis Mills' stock has actually gotten a little too high, which I tend to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people feel differently about this. Cause do you recall when the Washington football team released Alex, whenever that was back in February, all I did was I put a question out for fans. Do you think Alex Smith belongs in the Ring of Fame for the Washington football team? And overwhelmingly, the answer was no.
Yep.
Now that he's retired, though, and he's never going to play for another team, does that change at all? Or is there something the team should do to honor Alex? I don't really know. He's the comeback player of the year. I've been saying for a while that they should name the award after him. But I just don't know if there's something else here, or we just always remember him fondly and you hope that he comes back for the alumni game. And I'm curious what you think as somebody that's worn that burgundy and gold.
Listen,
I know people, based off of situations, they change their mind. My mind is the same as it was then. You have to look at what has he done to do that. And when you look at it, what was it, two seasons, basically? Two or three seasons? And I don't see it based off of a lot. But if they want to change the name of the award, yeah, I can see that. You know, if they decide to do something, that's possible. But I don't think when you look at whatever the criteria was to get there that you automatically say yes to that. I don't see that.
I agree. I think this is a good outcome in a lot of ways just because it allows Alex to walk away on his terms. But I think in a lot of ways, man, I think it makes what Ron Rivera said that, listen, I was terrified to play this guy. And, you know, Alex was mad that he wasn't in the plans to play. Of course he wasn't. Nobody thought he was going to play.
Probably not even him. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that's the one thing where people don't understand. I don't think Alex really thought he was going to be back playing.
I think it was a crazy, unique set of circumstances that led the Washington football team to need not just three, but four quarterbacks to start last year. I mean, the amount of quarterbacks this team has started in the last 3 years is just insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many teams, they went 4-3-4 in the last three seasons starting quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Should we try to name them?
No.
Heinicke, Smith, Haskins, Allen, Keenum, McCoy, another Haskins, Smith, McCoy, Sanchez, Johnson.
A lot.
Whatever space in my brain that occupies, I'm never going to get that space in my brain back. And I've killed enough brain cells. I shouldn't be mindlessly offering up space in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, here we are. Hey. Coming up next. Yes, B? Did you want to insult me? Coming up next, Ben Standing from The Athletic will join us. I want to ask Ben certainly his opinion on Alex Smith's legacy, but then I want to circle it back to the NFL draft. Just 10 days out, what's the right pick for Washington at 19? Ben does a really good job with these mock drafts, and Lord knows he digs and digs and digs around. I'll squeeze one more caller in. Is that we ready here for Steve? Hey, Steve, you get the last word. What is Alex Smith's legacy for you here on the Gambit DC Listener Lines?
He got $97 million from the Redskins and a $40 million signing bonus. What more does he need? I mean, I appreciate the man. He's a great, great work for the team, honestly. What more does he need?
That's a fair point. That's a lot of dough. A lot of dough.
I want to know what he needs. I just want to know. Just tell me.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for the call. Another note, because I'm getting this question a lot on Twitter. I reached out to J.I. Halsell, who's a NFL agent, salary cap expert, used to work for the Washington football team. The dead money on Smith's contract on the 2021 salary cap will not be impacted because they terminated the contract back in March. So that's staying there. Hopefully that answers that question. Here's what we're going to do. Time to talk to Ben Standing. Ask him about the legacy of Alex Smith and what Washington's going to do in the NFL draft, because that's the bigger question for the team and for you. Coming right back.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, we're back. A lot of news. Busy world. Follow Brian on Twitter at BMitch Live NBCS. Follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Follow my guy J.I. Halsell at SalaryCap101. He just tweeted out officially, Smith's retirement has no impact on Washington's 2021 cap since they terminated his contract back in March. He's currently counting $8.2 million against their cap. That would have been $10.8 million, but they received a $2.6 million credit from the insurance policy they took out against Smith. You know what? Sure be nice if he just retired back in March.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. Let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Time to talk to my friend, Mr. Ben Standing from The Athletic. Does a great job covering the Washington football team and is a mock draft savant. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing. Benny boy, I want to start here. Who will go at number three and who should go at number three?
I will say this, that the more I'm doing this, meaning this beat reporter job and trying to talk to people around the league, the more I'm confused about mock drafts. I think I have too much information in my head. I mean, there's obviously a lot of reports about Mac Jones, and I just wrote something the other day for The Athletic where I sort of did a deep dive around the league on what people are thinking is going to happen, and most executives seem to think the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones, but at the same point, many of them are semi-incredulous that this would actually happen, that they don't see him as the comparable candidate to Trey Lance or Justin Fields. So I'm going to say Mac Jones. I think Trey Lance to me would be the answer. It just seems like a good fit for what he does. He played under center a lot with the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan likes to play action, and he needs to learn a year. With Garoppolo there, you have a veteran who can play. You don't have to throw Trey Lance in there, which is often, I think, a downfall for a lot of these young quarterbacks. So to me, Trey Lance would make sense, but I would go Mac Jones if I had to do a mock right now.
So to bet that it's not Jones, I get the field, you get Jones?
For a soda, sure.
All right.
Done.
You won't bet money against it?
Wait, say that again?
So you won't put no money on it?
Not at the moment in time, no. I'm not overly confident, but for a soda, I'm willing to wager because I have that gambling gene.
If you have the app, the 7-Eleven app, Big Gulps are only 79 cents right now. I heard from somebody else. I'm Big Gulp free.
That is a good source.
I'm at least 3 hours Big Gulp free. but, Benny, let's talk about the Washington football team then. We're talking with Ben Standing on the BetQL guest line. Follow him on Twitter, at Ben Standing. Odds the Washington football team moves up in the draft. I think they're fairly slim. I don't think there's any chance of going up to number four. I think 8 or 9 or even 14 could make more sense. I don't think it's limited to just quarterback either. If one of these, if a guy like Kyle Pitts starts to slide and everybody thinks he's going to be out of this world good, maybe that's a guy you make a move. What are you expecting? Let's try to make this broader, right? Give me the odds the Washington football team just stays at 19 and picks the best player they can get right there, or that there is a move.
Well, I mean, I think the overwhelming likelihood is that they stand pat, right, at 19. That's the case for all the obvious reasons. One, you have to have a trade partner to move up, and we're so focused here because this is the team we cover and we live here. But in most cities, there are all kinds of conversations about trading up, trading down, what have you. And if you were in those places, it might feel more urgent as well. So I think it's just the scenarios that for them to get a quarterback, they would have to trade not just past 10, 11, 12, because those are where the NFC East teams are sitting. It may have to trade up past 9 at because Denver would, I think, arguably, or if not logically, take a quarterback. That takes you to 7 or 8, and that is an awful lot you'd have to give up. And that's assuming that the Lions and Panthers – that based on the board would be willing to move out. So I just feel like the likelihood of trading up seems pretty slim to me. And then forward, yeah,
I agree with you.
Well, I appreciate that. So yeah, so now we get to sitting there at 19. I think then it's just one of the top four offensive linemen still on the board. If the answer is yes, I think that's how they would go. But linebacker would be sort of the other obvious position based on need and the way the draft board unfolds. Of course, all this comes down to, you know, how much did they go with some sort of a best available philosophy, and then obviously I don't know what their big board looks like on that front, but tackle, linebacker look the more logical choice to me than trading up for a quarterback.
When this draft is over, will there be a young quarterback on the roster?
I mean, look, I've been saying no, but that may just be my sort of the way my brain kind of functions here. I mean, you have Look, obviously we get it. They don't have an obvious long-term answer on the quarterback, but you do have three guys that started a game last year. We know how Ron Rivera feels about Kyle Allen, and they re-signed Taylor Heinicke fairly quickly. I don't even know if Taylor Heinicke's on a team right now if they didn't re-sign him, but whatever. So you have three guys. You don't have to take one. If you draft a quarterback, then obviously that player is going to play. And my just thing in general is, again, not always, but in general, if you draft a quarterback in round two or three, you are likely having drafted him 1 to 2 rounds earlier than he's on your board, or that the consensus would say. Because if he was that good, you would have picked him in the first round. So that to me, it's just like, since they have quarterbacks on the roster, you have Fitzpatrick, I would personally wait. And plus, like, I mean, again, if they think Davis Mills or Kellen Mond is great, well, then, you know, go for it. But I'm just saying, in general, if you think they're great, you would have picked them in the first round. But I also think there's so much veteran volatility going on these days, and we don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and who knows what else next year. I would just, at this point, if I'm watching, I would just kind of want to wait and see what else happens rather than sort of going in on a younger quarterback. Not saying a round two quarterback means you can't get Aaron Rodgers hypothetically next year. I'm just saying, you know, I would probably lean towards wait and spend those picks elsewhere.
Well, especially when you consider Ron Rivera keeps saying, we're going to watch what happens and react accordingly. What if Atlanta stays at 4 and takes a quarterback? Then you also know Matt Ryan's going to be available next year, or even maybe this year. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to be available. I asked Ron that question specifically about, you know, does the changing kind of landscape in the NFL with veteran quarterbacks shifting teams change things for Washington? And he gave me a coach speak answer, but I think that's a real part of the equation. We saw them go in hard trying to get Stafford. I think if more quarterbacks become available, whether it's later this offseason or next offseason, I think they're going to be a factor there too. I just what do you think then, Ben, does happen at 19? What's your projection?
You know, I think the question for me is, you know, like I said, there's a gauntlet there between sort of like 11 teams picking at 11, 13, 14, 16, 17 that all could take offensive line. So I don't know if it's realistic to think that Christian Darrisaw, the tackle from Virginia Tech, or Elijah Vera Tucker, the versatile lineman from USC, slips to 19. I just think, though, if that does happen, when you consider the premium position, especially if it's the tackle, that just sort of trumps everything else. Plus, it is an obvious need area. I'm not saying it's like if they don't get a tackle, it's a disaster, because, you know, Cornelius Lucas was interesting last year as the season progressed, and you still have Sadiq Charles possibly as a tackle option. But that, to me, just seems like the scenario to take. Linebacker is not a premium position, but we know Ron Rivera wasn't that excited about the group he had at times last year. He did say some nicer things about them lately, and, you know, you still have John Bostic and Cole Holcomb, but they still need a better option there for, you know, whether we're talking for ideally a 3-down option if you're drafting somebody at 19, and that would mean guys like, if Micah Parsons from Penn State were to slip, him, sure, more likely he's gone, and then you're looking at like a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, who's like this, you know, hybrid athlete defender who can, you know, who can play a lot in sub packages. Some people think he's maybe more of a safety, but you can use him all over the place. So there's a few different linebacker options. That would be, to me, sort of 1B if the 1A option on the offensive line doesn't happen.
I've sat here, we saw them over the last 4 years, and they went after D-line. And I just think I need to see that same type of attention to the offensive line. Do you see them trying that, drafting more than one lineman if they can this year? Offensive lineman, not D lineman.
I mean, certainly it's possible. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at the group they have, right, in terms of like the overall depth, so if you're looking at the top 9 or 10, you know, you have probably enough to go now, or, you know, going forward. But that said, you know, the Brandon Scherff thing, obviously, we don't even, you know, realistically, if he doesn't sign a long term deal, he's probably not going to be on the team next year. There are, like I said, there are questions at left tackle, and you could make a, you know, argument at left guard as well, though Schweitzer was solid as the year went on. So I have no issue if they do take multiple linemen. I just always like to think, if I'm drafting any player, I don't care what round it is there a path for that player to make the roster? And I would say on the offensive line, there's a path, but I don't think it's like if they didn't take a second guy that would be a huge miss. You still have a guy like Keith Ismail, for example, who was a draft pick last year who just didn't play as a rookie, who could, you know, give you some more depth this time. And again, I mentioned Sadiq Charles coming back from his injury. So they already have like sort of, you know, a couple of young guys there we have who weren't even really a factor last year who could be this year.
Ben, one thing, we got to let you run, but I got to get you to comment on this. One thing I find so remarkable is that we talk ourselves into, we as the media, as the city, as the fans for the Washington football team, things get talked into, oh, well, they've got to replace Kevin Pierre-Louis' production. He's a replacement-level player. You're not trying to replace him. You're trying to get much better than him. Don't you agree at the linebacker position?
Yeah, I think this is a case where it's the difference between taking what a head coach, Ron Rivera, says at face value or actually understanding what he's saying. There's no way. He didn't play Kevin Pierre-Louis down the stretch. Once Cole Holcomb came back from his injury, which was fairly early in the season, Kevin Pierre-Louis's snaps started to decrease, and then it got to the point where late in the season, part of it was an injury, but he really wasn't playing at all. He took no defensive snaps in the playoff game. I think what Rivera has said that is what you do take is – they like what Kevin Pierre-Louis brings as an athlete, as a guy who can run fast, cover, and you want that, but you want a better version of that. And that's why I think Owusu-Koramoah is kind of interesting. He's a small guy. He's not exactly the same, from a physical standpoint, but athletically, sort of some of the same traits are there. So, yes, there's no replacing Kevin Pierre-Louis. That's not a thing. But you need more linebacker depth, and that type of linebacker I do think is something that they may be looking for.
I always appreciate people that make sense and that agree with me about what makes sense. Ben, thank you for the time. I'm going to try to book you right now. I'm going to do Landfill a favor. I want you on draft day on the show. Are you available?
I would think so. I have no life, and two, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. So, yeah.
All right. I know you'll have your latest mock. I know how good you are at those things, so I want to give you a chance to be right and to do it in advance. So we'll talk to you again next Thursday. Thank you for the time, brother. Always appreciate it.
All right, Ben.
All right, fellas. See ya.
Peace.
That is Ben Standing from The Athletic. Quick break from us, then we're going to circle back. Draft talk. I got to ask B. Mitch if I have successfully righted my wrong. And I've just found a really, really cool picture that is a clue who's going to be our celebrity guesser tomorrow. A lot coming up. Quick break.